to do tonight is just start with just a little bit of teaching, okay? And for the month of August, I'm going to be talking about prayer, okay? I'm going to be talking to you from the Scriptures about prayer, okay? So let's pray. Father, I just want to come in Jesus' name, and God, I'm floored at the stuff you're already teaching me. God, I am so grateful that the week that I had at camp, and even, Lord, about the 4 or 5 days prior, Lord, you've been drawing my heart to you. You've been warming it. I'm so grateful. Lord, when you have a cold heart and your heart is just hard, there's no reason for you to act with any mercy or grace, and it just blows me away all over again when you do. And so I thank you for that. God, I pray that we'll learn to really connect with you. That, Lord, this will be all about you, and it'll be all about you working in us and us being a blessing to each other and knowing you better. And God, I just pray that it'll really all be mixed up into everything you want just to draw us, Lord, in tighter and closer with you. I ask that you'll do this, Lord, just through Jesus, Lord, because there's no reason you should ever do anything because I ask you. But God, I present Jesus, and I know you accept me because of him. And Lord, I know you're predisposed to answer because of him. And so, God, please have mercy on us and meet with us. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Why pray? You ever asked yourself that question? Why do we pray? Is that not a little bit of an odd thing in the first place? That we're kind of talking to, imagine the world thinks we're a little crazy at times. We're just kind of talking to nothingness in a room, to a lot of them. And we're going to see in a minute, God's going to tell us that he knows what we need before we even ask him. So then you even ask yourself, okay, wait a minute, then why prayer, okay? Let me read you a passage. I'm going to talk out of Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And they're the two sections on prayer, okay, where Jesus teaches the model prayer. Okay, Luke 11, 1, it says, it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. First thing that happens here is they say to Jesus, teach us to pray. They don't say teach us how to pray. It's teach us to pray. And as I looked at that passage, I realized this. They had just seen and heard Jesus pray. And seeing and hearing Jesus pray, that made them want to pray. They had just kind of secondhand experienced Jesus' relationship with his Father. And they wanted one. I mean, they wanted one really badly. Okay? They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to preach, didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to do miracles, didn't teach Jesus how to cast out demons. And that's interesting to me. What they said is, please teach us to pray. And I just believe after hearing Jesus pray, they knew that his time with the Father, and what I mean by that is the intimacy of it, the love that was between the two of them, I believe the expression of Jesus' need, even though he was God, and then the interaction that was going on there, they knew that that was the source of everything else that was flowing out of Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, the miracles I do, it's simply what my Father leads me to do. I don't do anything unless it's something I've seen the Father doing. I don't say anything unless it's something I heard the Father saying. And so if we realize this, the whole ministry of Jesus while he was here on earth was actually just the overflow of his relationship with his Father and him living out what he had experienced as he sought the Father. The result was Jesus taught them a basic, simple pattern of prayer. Now, what's really cool is, as I studied it, I believe that actually what we see in Matthew 6 happened first, and actually Luke was not the same thing. It was probably 2 years later than when he had taught what he had taught in Matthew, from what I can gather in the Scripture. Now, here's why it's cool. Because when Jesus taught it again in Luke, he actually shortened it further. And what that tells me is this. Rather than make it more complicated, Jesus wanted to make it simpler. And I think one of the reasons why people don't pray is they think it's so stinking complicated. And I don't think it's really that complicated, okay? Jesus, by the way, shortened it by almost two full sentences and just put it out there to him. Now, what I love is it says here, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. All right, I look at this, and we could look at it as, and honestly, I looked at it in the past even as this. This is something you do when you disciple people. You ought to teach them how to pray. And I missed the whole idea of, no, it's not to teach them how to pray. It's to teach them to pray. They said, please do it just like John did it with his disciples. Here's the thing. When it's just something you're supposed to do when you add the list of things you do when you disciple, and I don't think it's bad to have that list, but the danger is prayer can become perfunctory and just lapse into religiousness. Or maybe we need to realize that John was the last guy they knew who knew God intimately. He was the last guy that they knew his heart, and that John was ministering out of the heart that he had for God and the way he experienced God. Maybe they knew John was the last guy that they had known for generations who had any kind of power with God that was real and wasn't some kind of dog and pony show. And so they realized, man, Jesus is walking with the Father, and out of this relationship is coming this life. Who's the last guy? John. And so it's like, so Jesus, man, teach us how to have this relationship, this connection with God, just like John did. And he taught his disciples to have that kind of connection with God, and everything flowed out of it. Then I got this question, and it was a question I didn't really like asking because I didn't like the answer I came up with. Okay? And here's the question. What is it that people, when they hang around us long enough, would ask to be taught to do, just like we do? And that, like, hurt when I asked God that question. And when that question came into my heart, and it was like, if people hung around me long enough, what is it that they would say, man, teach me this, because I'm experiencing something? You know, would it be how to tell a joke? Would it be how to preach a sermon? And honestly, what is happening in my heart is I long that there would be such, and by the way, I don't want to long for this because, and we're going to find out in a minute, that part of the reason some people pray is ego, okay, just their ego. I'll just say this. Is our relationship with God such that people want us to teach them to pray as we do, meaning this? Something is definitely going on between you and God. I see it in your life. I see it in how you minister to people. I see it in the things that are closest to your heart. I see it in the reality of your relationship with God and who God is to you. And honestly, I seem to see that you believe whom you are with God as well, and it's a relationship. And they say, please, please, teach me to communicate with God like you do, to know God like you, to love God like you do, to talk with God like you do. And then I just got at the end of that, is this what they would ask? Is this what they would ask us? Or has prayer become some kind of way that we put our laundry list or our I want this list out before God? And I don't know about you guys, but when that's all my prayer life becomes, it gets really cold. It gets pretty darn empty. And I just quit praying. If there's not a sense of the personal, if there's not a sense of the reality of God, prayer really just lapses into something it was never meant to be. And what it was really meant to be was us connecting and communicating with Almighty God, flowing out of our love for him, flowing first out of his love for us, of course, because he draws, not us, but flowing out of his love for us, and a response in receiving that love, we're then loving him back and wanting to be with him. There are four basic reasons in this passage why we pray. Number one, ego. We pray to impress others that we are spiritual. And I've been there, and I'm ashamed of it. But I will pray, and sometimes God is not the first thing that's on my mind. Sounding like I know what I'm talking about is on my mind. Sounding really spiritual is on my mind. Isn't it cool how he quotes scripture in his prayers is on my mind. And I am so aware at the end of a prayer like that that I'm miles away from it. Even though he's dwelling in my heart. Even though he still loves me and he's not going to abandon me, I've just done something to just so prostitute my relationship with God into nothing more than just my ego. And I say, Pastor, why are you talking about that? Verse 5, Matthew 6. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Several statements. I'm going to move on because I really want us to be able to pray, dealing with some of these things. Don't be play actors. Be real. We are not praying for anyone else's benefit. We are talking to God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're kind of in a conversation with three or four folks, and you suddenly realize that somebody's talking to someone else for your benefit. And you're just kind of like, why don't you just talk to that person, or if you need to say something to me, say something to me. Why are you taking the whole idea of relationship here and throwing it to the wind because you're talking either to impress somebody or whatever it is, but you're not really talking to me. Guys, Jesus said, man, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, they want everybody to notice their prayers. I wrote down here, who you impress is who will bless you. You impress men, you'll get your reward in full, God said, from them by their high thoughts of how awesome you are, which, by the way, the moment they hear somebody that they think is more awesome than you, you're gone. You know, that's just, and there's, and by the way, if they see you do something that's less than awesome, they'll think you stink all over again. Okay, it's not like, I mean, that's such a fickle place to go, you know, in the love of men. If you don't think that's true, follow a presidential campaign. They love him, they hate him, they love him, they hate him, they love him, they hate him. And you know, then finally they go into the booth and they click a lever and it's all done. Who you impress is who will bless you. You impress men, you'll get your reward from them, but you will get nothing from God. You know, basically all we're going to get from God when we do that is conviction. Seek God, you'll get rewarded from him. This part does not mean we are not to pray corporately. It is, however, a warning about, and I've got down here, and forgive me, I'm a dork when it comes to this stuff. It's also, but it is a warning about praying games with God. Because that's what we're doing. We're playing a game, but now we're praying a game. And it's not, and it's taken prayer and it's taken it out of genuine, loving communication with God where we're talking to him and now it's just for somebody else's benefit and we're just hoping God catches enough of it so that the Lord gives us a gold star when the angels look at the chart, you know. So the first reason people pray is their ego. They want to impress others. Number two, second duty is to perform a religious duty or practice we're supposed to do. Jesus also addressed this. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Religious duty, guys, is empty and it's meaningless. If we honestly think by some religious repeating of words we can coerce God into doing whatever it is that we want to do, that is just stupid. First of all, God's insanely wiser than we are. He sees straight through our motives. It's not like repeating some words are going to get past his omniscience to where we can fake out God by sounding really awesome. By the way, later on he says, your father. Okay? And I just got, we cannot coerce God to do something by use of special phrases, repeated religious codes, or some kind of a secret way of putting words together so that God has to do what we say. And unfortunately, for some folks, that's what they think prayer is. I remember being at a revival meeting where I was told later, the people that came down and prayed with people in the front, they were all told, you can only say one of four or five words. And they either had to go in front of them and just go, fire, 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 or holy, 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 holy. And I'm not sure what the heck was going on, but I went down for prayer one night. Sure enough, the guy was just repeating the same word over and over again. I was kind of like, what in the world? And we get to the point where we don't even talk to God about the person or talk with that person to God together as we're seeking something. No, it all becomes about you learn the right code words, you learn the right words, and God has to do what you say. You have your secret Jehovah decoder ring, and you've used it, and God has to answer what you say. Thank you. Woo! Why do we think we're going to do that with a God who has his eternal, infinite plan that's been in place since the beginning of the age? And from what I understand, that plan is that all things will be summed up in Jesus, and Jesus one day will give it to the Father. So why is the Father going to kind of go, oh, you repeated the magic words. I guess I'm just going to set this plan to the side and give you what you asked for. Listen, it says your Father. First thing, you know, it says, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Hey, this is a relationship. It is speaking to our Father. Don't insult Him by thinking that certain favored religious actions, phrases, words, or other stupid means are how to talk to Him. You know, can you imagine how insulted you would feel if somebody came up and thought by repeating some kind of phrase, they could get you to do whatever they wanted you to do? And it's, yeah, kids do that, but I mean, hopefully they're not wise and they're getting wiser, you know. But I mean, I know myself, and there have been times I've thought, you know, you go through that phase as a Christian. I said in Jesus' name, why ain't it happening, you know. Pray anything according to His will. I quoted a verse, you know. I may not be right with God, maybe just ticked off at my friend, but I quoted a verse and I claimed it. You know, why can't I have that happen? And so, hey, listen, it says He already knows what you need. And then I just got my notes. Seriously? Then why prayer? And then I've got, and I don't know why I talked to myself in my notes, but I said, glad you asked. The answers are in the rest of the passage. Okay. So, two of the reasons why people pray, okay, for those basic reasons. Ego, we're trying to impress somebody. Two, duty, or we've got the magic words, okay? We've got some kind of religious magic words we're going to use. They're going to make God do whatever we want. Here's number three, love. Because of love for our Father that we've experienced in Jesus Christ, we want to talk to Him, and we want to spend time with Him. Matthew 6:9, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just read Luke 11:2. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Isn't it funny how He shortened it the second time? Let's just make this even easier, you know. Okay, first words, Father. Guys, relationship. Relationship, 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 relationship. And by the way, it's our Father. Isn't that interesting? Not my Father, so it just becomes about me and God. It's our Father. And guys, we are a part of a covenant community here at Calvary. It's our Father. When we talk to Him, we need to understand He's not just here to do whatever it is I want to do. He's also wanting me to be involved and intimately involved with a larger group of people that are His body. And it's our Father, which art in heaven. By the way, it's a group. It's a family. He's in heaven. We aren't. So we do need to realize who He is. He's God. But then here's the thing. Hallowed is your name. Okay? Now, we hear these things. And by the way, I think one of the things that Satan has used over the years is people just kind of repeating this rote that we miss it. Okay? Hallowed is your name. That word means holy is your name. Holy does mean pure, but it actually means completely different than anything else. It is, and I'll just read this to you. Hallowed is your name. Your name is like no one else. You are like no one else. You are so different. You are so set apart. You are not like me. You're not like us. And what it evidences, guys, is that we love our Father. And here's the thing. When we love someone, we are not afraid to praise Him. Have you ever heard someone who has just freshly fallen in love? And let's just say they're engaged. Oh my gosh, you just want them to shut up about the other person, don't you? Oh, they're just so wonderful. They're so awesome. You know, lovers, and I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, lovers love to praise the one they love. Guys, you want to know, and it's one of those things. We do it. I don't think we should stop doing it. But honestly, when we're here on a Sunday morning and music begins to crank up and we say that we're entering into that time that we're singing, we are not singing to get an emotional high. We are not singing to get all worked up so that the preaching will go better. We are not doing what we should be doing is coming into the presence of our Father and going, you are so different than anything else I've experienced this week. You are so much greater than anyone I've ever been around. You are so stinking awesome and incredible. It's praise, guys. But it's not just saying nice things about God. It is recognizing Him as holy outside of anything or anyone that has ever existed or ever will exist. There is a certain awe and shocker when we see someone truly holy or see a name that is wholly outside of the realm of our existence. It is something, it's praise. It's you know, I got down here, my dad is seriously, incredibly, undeniably awesome and wonderfully, majestically, astoundingly different and better too than anybody else. His name, woohoo, is praiseworthy. And remember that a name always represented the one that holds it. Names in the Old Testament actually meant something about the person that was there. You know, thus the crazy naming of Mahlon and Chilion, you know, by Naomi and her husband. Name your kid consumption and the other kid sickness and they both die. You know, I don't know what they saw when that kid came out of the womb, but it must not have been great, you know. Well, think about all the names that God has. I mean, that's just awesome. And I see the little kids at times going, you know, my dad, you know, mine's bigger than your dad. My dad's better than your dad. My dad's smarter than your dad, you know. My dad can beat up your dad, you know. And the kid goes, that's nothing. My mom can beat up my dad. But guys, for us, we come into our Father's presence, and it's like, Father, that's in heaven, your name, who you are. Oh, it just blows my mind. And we're not doing it so He'll like us better. We're doing it because we genuinely are getting to know Him, and those things are blowing our minds. That is why sometimes, like I'm back to praying in the morning. I'm so grateful for it, but walk all over my neighborhood and I pray. And there are times, I don't know if you guys do this. I hope you don't. But if you do, you can know your pastor does it too. And there are times I'm like just praying for stuff. Lord, I just want to pray for, you know, let's say, Lord, I just want to pray for the elders at Calvary. And Lord, I just want to ask you to bless them. And God, you know, I just want you to encourage these guys. And then I'll just go into, and Lord, you're great and you're awesome and you're good and you're holy and you're fantastic, and here. And it's just like, what are you doing? It's like I'm not even in that part. It's just like that's me stuttering, you know. I got stutter praise going on, you know. And it's just words. I don't know if you've ever been there. Unfortunately, I go there a lot because I just default to it sometimes when I'm not really sure what to say. And God's going, don't say anything. Just be quiet for a minute. You'd be blown away what I might want to say. You know, it's love that should bring us into His presence. And let me say this. You might ask the question, okay, I'm not feeling the love. I don't have the love. Then come into His presence and talk to Him about it. Tell Him about it. I can't tell you guys the number of times I've tried to do an end run around what I really am feeling. I don't know if you've ever been there either. Like, man, my heart just feels really cold. I'm just not into it, but I'm going to pray anyway because I know I'm supposed to. Best thing for me probably to do, because that prayer time is probably not going to be terribly effective anyway, is it? Best thing I probably could do is go in and spend the time I spend with God crying out to God and telling Him, God, my heart is so hard. I'm so sorry. Would You please show me why my heart is so hard right now? And kind of get quiet before Him. And don't be shocked if He starts telling you why. If things don't start coming up into your mind about possibly sin or playing games or some stuff like that. And then talk to Him and say, God, I don't know why, but my heart is just cold. I don't feel like praise is just kind of rising up. And you can even kind of go, God, what I want to do is instead of faking it, I want to offer a sacrifice of praise. Right now it's a sacrifice because I don't really feel it in my heart, but I know You deserve it. And then just offer it to Him. Guys, it's really about being honest with Him, because if you really love somebody, you'll be honest with them. Fourth thing, need. Because our need is so great, that's why we go to Him. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, you know what you need? You need daily sustenance. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. You know what you need? You need forgiveness. And you know what else? You need to forgive others. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know what we need? I need leadership away from sin. If I'm going to experience temptation, in fact, the Greek there seems to indicate that you're saying, lead me not into temptation, but if it's necessary, deliver me from the evil one. So it's kind of like this. And sometimes my prayer hasn't been in a long time, but sometimes my prayer is, God, I know You're not going to lead, don't lead me into temptation, and honestly, give me enough sense to realize when I'm dumb enough that I'm leading myself into it, where I'm just deciding I'm going to try to tiptoe the line. Now, I don't know about you guys, but every time I tiptoe the line, you know what I do? I fall right over it. Anyway, we need leadership away from sin. We need deliverance when the evil comes along. It's not like we're going to be able to deliver ourselves in that moment. So we cry out and we say, God, you know what I need? I need You to show me the right way, and then I'd walk in it. And then, God, when I blow it, please, God, I can't deliver myself. Would You deliver me out of it? When it's just merely temptation and maybe I'm not giving into it, God, bring the Scriptures to mind. Help me, you know. And some of it just may be, honestly, just crying out to God about some issues in your life. And then I love this. Last two verses. For if you forgive others transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Remember we already said we need to forgive, right? Okay. Second time, we need to forgive. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Fascinating to me that in this passage, you need daily sustenance, you need forgiveness, you need leadership away from sin. You need deliverance when evil comes along. And you need to forgive, you need to forgive, and you need to forgive. You know what often destroys the spirit of prayer in our lives? Bitterness. Unforgiveness. I think it's also what destroys the spirit of revival in churches. You have so many issues. So many people that are not on good terms with each other. And they're probably not even going to talk to each other about it. And it just grieves the Spirit of God. Three times he brought up the issue. Luke, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We don't pray because honestly, oh, and I've got two things, and then we're done. Okay? We don't pray because honestly we don't think we're needy, or we think we can handle life on our own. Or don't love and want to talk to God that day. We're just caught up in ourselves. I know that's hard. It was hard when I felt like the Lord was giving it to me this afternoon. But, and I'll say this. I'm not going to put this on you guys. I don't pray because there are just days where I'm just so caught up in myself and caught up in what I want to do for that day. I just really don't love the Father. I'm caught up, you know, it's kind of like this. It says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So if you're filled with the love of the world and the things of the world and you're chasing after all that, really we shouldn't be terribly shocked that we don't really want to pray. One of the things that's going to happen if we get into this relationship with God and get really serious about it and want to love him and be with him is he will begin addressing areas of worldliness. Because it just kills his love. It doesn't kill his love, it kills our love for him. And it just kind of stamps it out. I don't pray because honestly, I don't really think I'm that needy. That's pride. If I really understood how needy I was, man, I'd be praying. You know? I don't know if you guys have ever realized that, but there are some days where God shows me how needy I am, and I'm just like, dang, I need more prayers, what I need. Or, I honestly think I can handle my life. It's almost like I'm saying to God, God, I got this. I can kind of handle it. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord's just like, no, you really can't handle it. And since you didn't really feel like you wanted to talk to me or love me, I love you enough to know that this is not good for you. This is terrible for you. And so in my love, I'm going to release discipline into your life. And you will know sooner or later, man, do you need me. Because the discipline is going to just increase pressures in your life where you start cracking. The foundation is going to start cracking all over the place. And suddenly you're going to get to the point where you, man, I need God. And I find it fascinating that when God used Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the first two things he said was, if my people who are called by my name will, what's the first one? Humble themselves. What's the second one? And pray. And then it says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Fascinating. Number one is humble yourself. Number two is pray. In other words, if I'm not praying, I am not humble. And humility is just me actually admitting to my own weakness and my incredible need for God. And here's the second one. My incredible need for the lady I'm married to. My incredible need even for my kids. My incredible need for every single one of you in the body. Here's a hard one. My incredible need for my sufferings and the difficulties, because you know what? The light and momentary discomforts are working for me an eternal weight that's beyond any imagination. So even my sufferings and my difficulties, I need. I'm actually not applying for any new ones. You know, that's like, Lord, where your wisdom decides to bring them into my life, I'm okay, but, you know, I don't want any additional ones. That's why I never ask God for humility. You know? It's like, or patience. Actually, I ask God for humility a lot. I never ask God for patience. I always say, God, give me grace. I don't want to ask him for patience. Usually when I ask him for patience, he brings me trials. And he says, okay, let's work on it. And so, okay, guys, here's what I want us to do. Okay, we're done. All the teaching's done. I want to take the last 30 minutes of our time here together, and if it goes over, I want us to go over into that. If we can, those of you who are a little bit further back, I'd like us to move, you know, kind of closer to the rest of us. I asked everybody to have their shots before we came here so that if anybody bit anybody else, it would be okay. And Sarah, you can turn off the thing.